and recognized it as a Ruger GP-110. Sick shot.
He fired seven. Needs two guns. Would have heard him reload. Five rounds left. Got that, Baron? Five left. Another few minutes, there'll be men coming over. It's done.
I can find plenty of Jack. More cash than either of you would see in a lifetime.
Rather piss in your face!
Jack snapped off a couple of rounds from the Magnum, the bullets kicking up a spray of earth near the top of the rise.
One eye?
Yeah, Baron.
I'll give you everything.
Been offered a lot of things in my life, Baron. Never everything. What would I do with everything? Where would I put it?
That's your last word? What the fuck's your name?
Ryan Carter. Yeah, it's my last word. Come out or stay there. It's all one. Quick or slow, Baron. Easy or hard.
The reply was two bullets in his direction, and two at the tree that sheltered Jack Lauren. That left him only one round, unless he had another hidden blaster or was going to reload.
That's it. One left for myself. Would I like to take you scum with me? Au revoir, mes amis.
Goodbye, Baron.
Ryan motioned for Jack to remain where he was.
Could be a trick. Likely is.
But it wasn't.
Suddenly, the huge figure of the Baron appeared, crashing over the top of the rise, both hands clutching his face, stumbling on the creaking metal and leather frames, falling to his hands and knees, rolling and rising again.
Watch him, Ryan.
Through the dim light, Ryan could see that this wasn't a ruse. Tamal must have put the muzzle of the Ruger into his mouth, intending to pull the trigger and blow away his own brains, removing the possibility of an execution at the hands of the Snow Wolf and his followers. But, as is surprisingly common, he'd screwed it up. The gun hadn't been angled correctly, and the abrupt kick as he pulled the trigger had thrown off the aim. As he fell again hard, one of the leg supports snapped in half, making it impossible for him to rise. Ryan could now see the damage more clearly. It looked like the heavy caliber bullet had angled up and sideways, smashing the upper jaw, boring through the top of his mouth, exiting through the cheekbone, just below the right eye. It had torn the eye itself from the socket, leaving it hanging on his cheek like a pendulous ornament. Ryan stood up, leveling the G-12, ready to chill the wounded man.
Pull that trigger, and I'll ice you, Ryan.
Jack, too, was standing, his big Magnum looking absurdly large in his small fist. But it was very steady.
What do you want, Whitey?
Couple things.
He walked to stand by the thrashing man, and leveling the pistol, carefully shot Tamal four times. Once through each elbow, and the center of each knee. His face like stone, Jack unbuttoned the front of his trousers. He urinated in the Baron's upturned face, the yellow liquid splashing in the man's eyes and mouth.
That's for my father. The bullets are for all my friends. But this last is for me.
Jack holstered his pistol and unwound a length of thin cord from around his waist. He beckoned for Ryan to help him. Ryan Carter had always seen the justice of making the punishment fit the crime. For a man as blackly evil as Baron Tremont, that wasn't a simple matter. But Jack's plan would fit the bill. It wasn't easy, but they manhandled the flopping, screaming giant down to the water and rolled him into the soft, warm mud of the shallows. Tamal tried to scream through his broken jaw and smashed mouth, but blood kept choking him. The rope was tied around his waist, the other end knotted to the stern of one of the canoes. Both Jack and Brian got into it, pushing off and paddling as hard as they could. The cord tightened, and for a few moments they were paddling and getting nowhere. Then the Baron was sucked free of the slime, rolling and flailing in their wake. Jack looked back, nodding in satisfaction. Stopping for a moment, he slapped at the brown water with the flat of the wooden paddle.
What's that for?
You see.
Glancing over his shoulder, Ryan saw a huge log, motionless on the far shore, suddenly jerk into clumsy, waddling life, slither into the water, and disappear. A V-shaped ripple on the surface of the swamp arrowed toward them. Ryan bent to his paddling, but Jack Lauren had stopped once more, gazing back at the floundering figure of the Baron, with an expression of gentle content on his narrow, scarred features. In turn, Ryan stopped.
Ahead of them, the last portion of the roof of the Best Western Snowy Egret collapsed in a great shower of sparks, soaring skyward. For a moment, smoke billowed across the lagoon, making it difficult to make out what was happening. Then it cleared. The caiman was swimming alongside the toad body. It reared out of the water for a moment, its eyes gazing into the ruined face of its master, as though it couldn't believe what it saw. Then the jaws opened, gaping, row on row of teeth, and closed. By the time they had paddled back to the dock where the others waited for them, the end of the rope was just a bloodied knot. Nothing else remained. No, Whitey.
Come on, Ryan.
No. Your fucking place is here. They're your people. We helped you beat the Baron. Now it's up to you.
I'm coming.
No, you're not. What about the windmills, the clearing and draining of the land, the planting of crops, and the founding of a settled ville for you and your folks?
Jack Lauren was adamant. 3 days had passed since the battle at the motel. The dead were buried, the last of the Sekhmen hunted down and slaughtered. The Cajuns had been to West Lowellton, learned that the rumors were true, the bad days were truly over, and peace had come to the Atchafalaya Swamp. Now, with Ryan and his party all fed and their various minor cuts and wounds tended, it was time for them to be moving on. But Jack Lauren had insisted on talking privately with them on an overgrown patch behind the Adelphi Cinema. Mainly, he and Ryan did the talking. The boy's hair, recently washed, had dried into a great torrent of purest white that foamed about his narrow shoulders. His red eyes were blazing with the intensity of his feelings.
Pa set this up so's if we ever won fighting, then there's all the skills here. I told you, Dad. My only skill's killing. No need for that here. Not now. Come with you.
The others sat in a circle in the grass, looking at the skinny young boy. Doc's arm was around Lori. Her head was on his shoulder. JB was playing with his fedora, turning it around and around in his lap, avoiding Ryan's eye. Finn was picking his teeth after 3 helpings of gator stew. Christy sat quietly beside Ryan.
But they need you, Whitey.
No, I need you, Ryan.
There was no doubt that the kid was a great fighter. Rough around the edges, but he would be a useful addition to the team. 7 had been a good number. After Hen's death, there was a sort of vacancy.
I don't know.
My work's done, Ryan. My people will stay here forever now. Now the shadow's lifted. Like strong wind, you helped rid the land of vermin.
Yeah.
If you don't, then you might see it hard to find that gateway you spoke of.
That a threat, Whitey?
Uh-uh. Promise.
So it was decided. The farewells were brief. Jack led them away through the suburbs of West Lowellton, toward the edges of the swamps. The sun was shining, and the neat rows of white houses looked as though their inhabitants had just slipped down to the shopping mall and would be back at any minute. Guided by the albino, they reached the low redoubt before the sun was setting, finding it as they had left it. The walls of seamless pale stone were tinted a gentle pink by the sun's rays. Inside, it was clean and trim, and Ryan took over, leading them along the carpet.